What's up, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of Nurse Speak. I am your host, EB. First and foremost, I just wanted to say happy Nurses Week. I hope you're all having a great week, and I hope you all feel appreciated. And if you do not feel appreciated, I want you to know that I appreciate you. This week's episode is going to be a continuation of the last week's episode, where you guys sent in stories of having to be a nurse outside of the bedside, the episode which we called Call of Duty RN. But before we get any further into that, I want to share some things that I am very excited about that we have coming up. One of them is a brand new website. We're going to be updating the whole website. There'll be new merch. And one of the other features I'm most excited about is we're going to be adding a forum. So as you know, on the Instagram page, one of my favorite things is interacting with you guys through the story feed. The community that's come out of that story feed, I truly love. And so I've been trying to come up with ways to really grow that community and really serve it. One of the hardest parts about the Instagram stories is I don't always see all your messages. So with this forum, you guys won't have to wait for me to screenshot your messages and repost them. You guys will be able to post directly to the forum. So if you enjoy the story feed the way it is right now, make sure you check out the Nurse Speak website in the next couple of weeks. And of course, I'll be updating you guys on all that as things come along. Without further ado, I would like to reintroduce Tony and Layla from last week's episode.
Hi, Tony.
What's going on? Hey.
Is this the infamous Tony of all the EB babies are...
This is him.
...salivating over?
Oh, no, that's not me. I don't know.
This is that Tony.
That's the wrong guy.
Oh, okay.
The legend himself.
All right.
So first story. I was working in a trauma ICU at the time. I was driving home from the grocery store when I saw a gentleman on his bike run into a parked car. He was going fast and looked really injured. I called 911 and parked my car and ran over to him. He was unconscious, but he had a pulse and was breathing. His neck was swollen, so I unclipped his bike helmet and held his head in C-spine. He eventually woke up and tried to move. I explained what had happened and tried to keep him calm. EMS arrived and loaded him into an ambulance. I used some hand sanitizer and I went home. The next morning, when I went into work, I walked into my patient's room and it was the same guy. He had damaged his spinal cord in the accident and was a new paraplegic. It was a surreal experience, taking care of someone on the street near my house and then having them as a patient the next day.
Wow, that's close to home.
Literally, oh, yeah. Literally close to her home.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever had that happen to me. Actually, you know, I've never once been in that situation where I've been outside and had to step up and be a nurse. I don't know if you guys have experienced that yet.
I don't know. I haven't. I shouldn't say unfortunately, but there was one time I was on the highway and I saw something on the opposite side happen. And it was really bad. My first instinct was they need a nurse. You know, they need 911, obviously, but they could use a nurse. But it makes you think because they like teach you like in TNCC and ACLS, if the environment's not secure or safe, like you shouldn't jump in. So like you have to really think about that or else you become a patient yourself.
Hey, you could run across the highway.
Right. I was like, I could just jump out of the car, like park in the side, jump over that like median and like save some lives. I'm like, well, wait, this is not a movie. You know what I mean? This is real life.
You're like, I'm just going to go to where I was going.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I did. I'm like, let me just call 911.
All right. Next story. It was my grandma's funeral. We had a big Catholic church procession of cars coming back from the cemetery. We were about to have a gathering for food in the hall of said Catholic church. I was dressed in my black pumps and a fancy type black dress. Grandma's best friend was driving herself, and when turning onto the church road, she got hit from the passenger side by an oncoming car she did not see. Of course, everyone was shocked and didn't know how to respond. I took off my pumps and ran to the scene of the car accident, flashing those behind me as my dress rode up to my thighs.
Okay, all right. Important detail.
Yeah, like storytelling.
It adds to the story. You feel like you're there. You feel like you're seeing it yourself.
Do you want to see that though?
Okay. What am I doing? Grandma's friend looked like she was having a stroke, so I began immediately assessing her with the NIH stroke scale while trying to keep her calm. And I was doing a full head-to-toe assessment on her to the best of my abilities. EMS arrived shortly after, so I pulled my dress down because I felt a breeze by that point. I put on my pumps that my cousin had brought over to me because I realized there was a bunch of broken glass on the road. I gave report and then went back to mourning my grandma over tamales and coffee. This happened 2 years ago, and the story of the crash at my grandma's funeral where everyone saw my butt is still told. It was an important detail.
I like can't think of anything else other than that than the stroking patient.
Yeah, straight up. I felt the breeze. Ooh. Like, get the fuck out of here. No, it was just funny as fuck how she was throwing those details in there. It was like, what were you? Did this even happen or did you make this story up to tell us?
I feel like with that many details, though, usually that's how you know it's a true story.
By this time, she felt the breeze. Nah, that's crazy as hell.
I appreciate the attention to detail. I do.
Next story. I was in an outdoor wedding in South Carolina at the time. The wedding was in July, so this means it was humid and hot as fuck, around 90 degrees. The wedding was beautiful and went great. Fast forward to the reception, which was also outside. The food took a long time to be served and we're all hot and hungry. Finally, the food gets served and all of a sudden we hear a loud bang and then someone screaming for a doctor. The loud bang was an elderly man hitting his head on the table, right into a plate of mashed potatoes. He totally DFO'd, done fell out. Does anyone else use this term? Yeah, I've never heard that term before. Anyways, I was genuinely waiting for someone else to respond because I was only about 1 year into my nursing career at this point. I don't like being the spotlight in general, but nobody stood up, so I felt inclined to make sure Gramps wasn't dead. I go over to him, and holy shit, there's no response and no pulse. I drag him to the ground and was about to start doing CPR. At this point, his wife, who was hysterical, revealed to us that he took his BP meds this morning, even though his BP was 100 over 70 beforehand. Also, a side note, his wife was like 35, and the old man was in his 80s, so you go, dude. Wow, yeah. Anyways, while he was on the ground, before I started CPR, I felt a faint pulse, so I decided to lift his legs up in the air to see if it was a BP issue. And what do you know, after Trent Dellenberging, the dude came back too and started vomiting. Thankfully, EMS was here at this point, so my job was done. It was terrifying, and I was in a short dress, so I know all the people looking at me saw my undies.
That sounds like a pretty common thing. Like, everybody wants to talk about their underwear.
It just seems like...
Especially at family events, like a funeral and a wedding.
Hey,
do what you gotta do.
It's the cost of saving a life.
Right.
Cannot do CPR because you don't want to expose yourself. But.
Wow, that's crazy. Like, I couldn't imagine, though. Like, imagine somebody going down, like, at a big family, like at a wedding or some shit like that. Yeah. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope I haven't been drinking, you know, at this little event, you know? Because right. Imagine being drunk as shit sitting there trying to help. Like, are you even helping at that point?
You get sober real quick when that happens. So you get sober super quick. Yeah.
That comes up in some of the later stories, too.
Oh.
That's crazy. Imagine if you're drunk as shit, talk about, I'm a nurse. I'm going to come see. And now you've identified yourself. Now they know, okay, so you're a nurse. Okay, I need help. So you establish that you smoke yourself and you're faded.
You say, that dude dumb fell out with that new medical terminology.
Hey, that DFO, dumb fell out. I Googled that shit too.
Definitely adding that.
Yeah, maybe we didn't know what it was before, but definitely going to add it to the vocab now.
He done fell out.
All right, so next story. I've been a peds nurse for less than a year, and I was on my way home from a vacation with my parents. I noticed a couple rows back, two flight attendants fussing over a man. One was kind of holding his head up, and the other was holding an orange juice. Then a third, very frazzled, flight attendant comes running down the aisles with a flowchart. It looked like a hypoglycemia flowchart. So I popped my head out and asked if they needed help. We kind of stared at each other for a second, and then I was like, I am a nurse. And she said, oh my gosh, we were just about to ask overhead if any nurses or doctors were on board. So I get up and walk over to this man and attempt to assess him with nothing, not even a flashlight. Talking to his wife, who I kept calling mom, Pete's problems, it sounded like he had a seizure. He was answering all the questions appropriately, just very sluggish and tired. I asked all the questions, like, have you had anything to eat today? If he's diabetic, if he's had seizures before. what happened right before. So I basically told him that he seems post-ectal and could be tired the rest of the day. Meanwhile, the flight attendant was on the phone with their physician hotline doctor, and they whipped out a suitcase that looked like it was something from the 1920s with medical supplies in it. I hand over a stethoscope that was essentially a Fisher-Price toy and a BP cuff to get some vitals, except I couldn't hear shit. Coincidentally, a radiologist from my hospital appears and a paramedic comes over to help. A big lady announces that she has an auto BP cuff because she has hypertension, so we use that. He's a little tacky and a little hypotensive. The medic starts an IV. I prime the tubing. They only have a 250 ml saline bag, and we just hold it up. But then another passenger offers a little bungee cord to help hang from the overhead bin. So nice. The doctor on the phone orders D50, which is in the suitcase. Internally, I was like, D50? Holy Hannah. Because I'm so used to little humans. We give him the dextrose and voila, the man is alert and oriented. After that, his IV was leaking a little bit because the tubing wasn't screwed tightly enough, so we broke it down and retaped it. We joked that we needed an arm board to keep his elbow straight because the saline was dripping slowly, and the frazzled flight attendant freaked out and was like, "What do you need? What do you need?" LOL, that poor woman was so worried, but she was so sweet. When we landed, the EMS came on and took him and his family off first, and that was that. Oh, and the airline gave us each a bottle of champagne.
I got a bottle of champagne, too.
I did, too. The little one.
All right, so there's inspiration. If they make that call overhead.
I'm surprised you guys had IV supplies, like hypoglycemic chart. I had, like, wild apple juice and, like, a fan. That's all I could give my plane. That's impressive.
All right, next story. On my way to work one morning, I not only witnessed, but was the first responder to a horrific accident. I was following a blue minivan on the road on my way to work at the time. At the end of the road was a stop sign. It was an intersection on a fairly busy road, especially in the morning. Rather than stopping, the van never put his foot on the brakes and flew right through the intersection. He was T-boned by a truck and both vehicles flew off the side of the road, through the guardrail, over the bank down into a creek. I went through and pulled over and started calling 911 before I could see anyone or any of the vehicles. Once I got to the bank, it was a horror film. The van went into the woods and slammed into a tree. The truck had flipped, the driver was ejected into the creek, and the truck was now on top of him. I remember saying into the phone, "You need to get here right now," after giving them a 20-second brief overview of the two severely critical victims. At the time, a few men stopped and we all barreled down the side of the bank into the creek. The man under the truck was pretty much dead, agonal breathing with no pulse. The men lifted what they could to get the truck off his chest. The men were stunned and just stared, shocked. I, being the only healthcare worker, immediately started compressions. I was able to get a pulse back when the medics arrived. Another bystander took over while I pushed through the brush to get to the other victim in the van. He was not wearing a seatbelt and was under the passenger dashboard. We yanked the door and pulled him out partially. I knew he was already dead. I sat there with him and cradled his head and prayed until the man could come pull him out. I couldn't bear to let him be alone. The paper ended up saying he experienced a medical event that resulted in him causing the accident. The other man under the truck was able to make it to the local ER before being pronounced dead. Two of his daughters worked there and were able to be with him. I ended up calling my boss and she went home and got me new scrubs since I was soaked from doing compressions in the creek. And I went in and finished my shift.
Wow.
Yeah. I would be like, I'm calling in to call off.
Straight up. No, I'm thinking the manager was just being nice. Oh, that was awesome that you did this. I'm thinking she was just giving her some new scrubs. She was saying, "Here's some new scrubs so you can bring that ass to work.
Get your ass to work."
We're still short staffed.
We got patients waiting in the ED. I need you to open up your bitch.
Definitely. Oh, did I mention that I was 12 to 14 weeks pregnant and I just had a miscarriage a few months before?
Wow.
The thought never crossed my mind during all of it. It was the craziest morning. Another crazy thing, I was actually early for my shift. I had all the time in the world to pull off the highway and onto the road in front of the oncoming traffic. But because I was early, I sat and waited until the blue van pulled on the road in front of me. If I didn't wait, he would have pushed me right into the intersection. I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason.
I would say, had she not left early, how early would she have arrived to work?
Yeah, she had time to go down to the creek.
Do some compressions.
Pull some out of the car. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah.
That is a lot. That's heavy.
Yeah, that's a sad story.
One time, this was during nursing school, and I think, and like when I went to nursing school, like I was never a CNA. I was never like, I never worked in a hospital. I never did transport or anything, not even EVS in a hospital. So it was like in nursing school. Clinical was the first experience ever, yeah. You know? So I remember it was my second semester and I went home and we were driving to go see one of my friends. It was me and my cousin. And next thing you know, like we see like this big like tractor trailer, like this kind of like in the middle of the road with the door wide open. And then we drive past it, like, what the fuck is going on over here? Nobody's in. And then my cousin looks over on the other side of the road. And then she sees like the driver just rolling around. But once she sees him, I see like another car up the street and it's just like balled up, right? So in front of me, there was already like a minivan going up towards like the car that was already balled up, right? So we speed up, we get behind them and we get out the car. Next thing you know, it's this woman and her neck is just like, she's just, her car is like, it's like a crumpled up piece of paper. But next thing you know, she was folded up, but her neck was like the top of the car had got ripped off and her neck was just like distended. And it was just, it was all bad. And then she had two kids in the backseat. We knew she was dead like immediately, but she had two kids in the backseat and it happened to be a 3-day-old child. And a 3-day-old child, and I think it was like a 3 or 4-year-old. And then me and the guy like in the minivan in front of us pulled the kids out and we were just holding the kids. Like, and that was a pretty wild experience.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy. Yeah. I think that was the first time I saw like a dead person. I went over there and like I tried to check for like pulse and everything, nothing. I'm like, yeah, she's gone.
Yeah, and there's something about seeing those like kind of accidents and stuff that just makes you feel like, it just makes you realize how quickly everything can just be done.
In the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah. It's terrifying as a medical professional being in an uncontrolled environment and having to respond. Yeah. You know, being a nurse is you're not in the comfort of your ER, your department, your ICU.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, heaven forbid I have to deal with that.
Yeah, but I remember when I first started working at ICU, and that was the first time I was really getting exposed to actual death more regularly, because I was in the SICU, so you get traumas and everything else, and some people come in barely alive, you know, they go to surgery and they're just hanging in there, and a couple of days later they pass. And when you see that enough, you start thinking about your life and like mortality, and I remember that absolutely messing with my mind for a while, because, you know, you meet their family members and you hear like their plans or what they were even doing that day before it happened, especially when it's like someone young or it's an accident where it's like they weren't at fault. They just went out to do whatever. And
oh, man,
that's it.
The shit that fucks me up is when people show me like pictures, like yeah. When people show me pictures of like the patient
living a normal life
and everything, yeah. and living a normal life. That's what throws me off.
Yeah.
Now I remember coming from, because like originally, like I started working, it was a ortho floor, but this is like, it's a hood hospital. So I mean, it's basically like a trauma. It's like a medical surge. It's like a med surge trauma. So yeah. We would take like patients like right out, because we don't have a step down, you know, from our ICU. So it would be like patients we'll kind of stabilize them, and then next thing you know, we'll send them down to med surge.
Yeah.
But I would never experience death. I remember like it wasn't until right before I went to ICU did I even experience one code. And that was when I floated to another floor. And then it's just like you get to the ICU and it's just a code like every night.
Yeah, sometimes. It becomes something that becomes not unusual. Like
exactly. And then it'll be your patient code.
Yeah.
And then then that shit happens like 10 times over and 10 more times. You just get so used to it. Yeah. It even has me looking at death like of my friends and family.
Yeah.
You know, it's like almost like a weird numb. It's like this hurts and I'm sad, but maybe I haven't processed it yet. Or maybe it's just like I'm desensitized completely.
The part of it too that used to get to me was like some of these people, when they die in the hospital, they're dying like these deaths that are, you know, like it wasn't, you want to imagine people dying in like this peaceful, whatever way it's like, but you're quoting them. Sometimes they die alone. There's no family there and it's not glamorous. A lot of times in ICUs, they have all these tubes everywhere. I can't tell you how many times I've coded people where it's like they're shitting the bed or whatever it may be. It's just like, you just think about that person's whole life and then you think about the way they died and like it just...
With all of this COVID shit going on right now, you know, nobody's allowed to come into the hospital.
Yeah.
So all of these patients are dying alone, you know, and that's, that shit is wild. Like people never expect them to go out like this, and especially at the time like this.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for ICU nurses because being an ER nurse before Corona, you don't really get to know the patient. You know what I mean? I've always imagined, like I remember doing my ICU rotation as a nursing student. It affects you when you actually do know the life that this person had before. And there's pictures up when you actually put like a more personal experience to it. That I just don't know if I could carry that. That is hard. I have a lot of respect for ICU nurses for, you know, have interact with the family and getting to know the patient and what that does emotionally for you, as well as like paramedics who are on scene in the environment when someone's going through that.
Yeah.
Like that's a completely different, it takes your job to a different level when you bring that in. ER, we don't, it's like just fix the situation and then ship them out. Like there's hardly ever an emotional component like that, unless it's a kid or something like that.
Yeah.
So, mad respect.
Treat them and street them, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie to you. That is the nicest thing I've ever heard in emergency.
I was just about to say, this is new, an ER nurse showing love.
I think I have a heart.
An ER nurse showing love to ICU. That is.
I'm serious. It's perspective. It's real. Like, damn. just leave me alone about my cords and everything. Shut up about that.
Now I really wish I had something nice to say about ED.
You stabilized them. You're welcome. Okay.
Yeah, you guys always coming up with, oh, that just happened.
Are they alive? You're welcome.
Y'all think fast. Yeah. It's like y'all see shit. It's like I don't know how to do it. It's like I like to think things out. It's like y'all move so quickly and shit comes at y'all so quickly, you don't have time to think.
No, and
that's one thing that I always thought was like real amazing, you know what I'm saying, about y'all. So.
That's true.
It's like a compliment, but also kind of like a low key diss, like you guys don't think.
No, I'm not saying.
I know, I'm playing. I'm just trying to start stuff.
Okay.
Y'all think quick as fuck.
Tony said ER nurses don't think. Anyways, next.
No, I didn't get that. We think on our toes and quickly. We don't have time for bullshit, okay? And the detailed history, no, okay? Report is they're alive. There you go. You're welcome. Take the picture.
Y'all definitely raw dog the world. I'm not gonna lie though.
Elaborate on that phrase, please.
Right. I'm like,
when I say that, it's like y'all take everything like to the face. Like it's just like people will come in off the street and we'll be sitting there and like talking to y'all, you know, like got TV. You don't know what the fuck you got. You just said. And I'm sitting there before you were sitting there like donning all of this extra like PPE, you know what I'm saying? If you got it because of this COVID shit, I'm talking about before, you know what I'm saying? When you're sitting there talking with somebody with active, you know what I'm saying? PPE and shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and it's just, y'all are just, you know what I'm saying? Like the little picture, you know what I'm saying? The little picture we do it. With a cigarette.
Yeah.
You
know, the Brad Pitt Fight Club.
Exactly. Brad Pitt.
We don't know what infectious precautions are in place until we give report half the time.
Yeah.
Like when you guys get your orders and we talk to y'all and you're like, oh, aren't they on contact isolation for da da da? And we're like, what? Good to know. History of whatever. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Okay. We like it. We like that, the thrill and the adventure. And that's why we're doing it.
Nah, y'all go hard. Like, y'all go hard.
Yeah.
Raw dogging the world. Might name this episode that.
We won't.
All right, next story. It's nothing glamorous, but there was one day I was going to meet a friend for a going away party. I was one of the first ones to get there, and the restaurant wouldn't seat us till the majority of the party was there. So I sat outside where they have a big courtyard area. It's part of a local outdoor mall, so there are lots of people. While waiting, I hear a kid screaming bloody murder. At this point, I thought she just fell and it was just a normal kid reaction to falling. The next thing I know, her mom was calling for her dad frantically. I could see she was panicking and holding the daughter's arm. Honestly, I was just going to let it be, but the screams and crying of the kid wouldn't stop. I could tell she was in a lot of pain. So I went up to them and I introduced myself, told them I was a nurse. I asked permission to look at the kid's arm, and this girl must have fallen something sharp because she had a pretty deep cut and was bleeding quite a bit. It looked like it needed stitches for sure, but I remembered that I had some stuff in my car to at least dress the wound. Thanks to the accumulation of stuff over the 5 years from forgetting to empty my pockets before leaving work, I went to get gauze, flushes, and some tape. Went back to them, cleaned and dressed the wound the best I could, and directed them to the nearest urgent care, which was thankfully only 5 minutes away. One of my friends saw me walk the kid back to the car and commented on my super concentrated face later. LOL.
I need to put some more supplies in my car. That's actually a good idea. I'm not one of those.
Some people have like this little CPR mask to like cover mouths and all that stuff.
Right. Nada. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing in my car. I think I should.
Well, I mean, compressions are the most important part anyways. And you don't need anything to do that.
Right.
I was on a hike and like this little girl like had cut herself, like she had fell and like cut her leg, and then next thing you know, this family, they didn't know I was a nurse or anything, but they came over and they're like, "Do you guys happen to have a band-aid on you?" And I didn't. And I felt like just defeated in life. I'm like, what the fuck type of nurse are you? You don't even got a band-aid.
But don't you have that like accumulation in your car of like flushes that you've left in your pockets or alcohol? Like, there was more alcohol swabs in my car than there were in that airline packet. Like, I had like 20 of them in my car. I've got gauze. Yeah. I got Kuros caps. Like, I'm sorry, I'm stealing all this stuff.
Confession.
I did take one of the urinals.
For what? You took a urinal for a road trip? You're like, I'm not stopping.
I don't know if that's commitment or laziness. I can't decide.
Yeah, it must be nice. I'm jealous.
Did you use the urinal in your car?
Yes, I did. And I reused it.
You're like, it's still in my car.
Still in the trunk right now.
But was it like sitting in your cup holder?
You know, I'm just, yeah, that's what I'm just. There's so many questions about this. I'm just like.
There are.
All right, I went to nursing school in a small town, so we drove an hour to a large hospital for our pediatric rotation. The six of us were driving to clinicals in my friend's minivan when we came upon a semi-truck overturned on the side of the road that had collided with another car. The driver was trapped inside. We arrived prior to EMS, so we pulled over, grabbed our stethoscopes, and ran to the car, dressed in our nursing student uniforms. As if we had any idea what we were doing, since we were only second-year nursing students, we began to assess the patient, checking his pulses and asking his medical history. EMS arrived to six nursing students surrounding their patient, ready to give full report. I'm sure they were thinking, what the fuck? They had to cut the man out of the car and life flight him out. Both drivers survived, and we were recognized a few months later by our local newspaper. It was actually a really cool experience for us as nursing students, and thankfully, everyone survived.
So he was just hanging in the car and they're like asking him all these questions because he wasn't like, it wasn't like he had gotten out of the car and they're like, let's gather this and do an assessment. He's like hanging.
He's still in there.
Dude's like, leave me alone.
Like, get me down. They're like, yeah, we can't do that. We'll gather all of this information though.
No, I'm sure he was happy to see him. I mean, he probably had a calming effect.
All right, how often do you take that medication today?
No, that was a cute story. When I read that one, I was like, I was just picturing these, like, I don't know, you remember how you were as a nursing student, just like over eager.
Hot mess.
But so excited about this event, like.
Yeah. All right. Next story. Okay, not my finest moment, but makes me laugh each time I tell it. New grad me orienting on postpartum. It's a weekend. We have multiple discharges. I feel confident to walk a new family to their car by myself. It was the weekend, so the only entrance and exit to the hospital is the ER doors. I'm holding a car seat with the baby while mom and dad get the last of their stuff in the car. I hear a car pull up rather quickly to the entrance, but I think nothing of it. Watch dad place the car seat in the car, listen for the clicks, offer another round of congratulations, and head back towards the ER entrance. This is when I really got a look at the previous mentioned car. A four-door, beat-up red car still running. I notice the driver door and passenger door are both left open, but no one inside. A few steps closer, and I notice a man, mid-20s, laying on the ground right outside the passenger door, clutching his midsection, moaning. He sees me in my nursing blues with an RN embroidered on my scrubs. We make eye contact. He says, "Help me, please." I stop dead in my tracks in a panic, and the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, "Let me go find you a nurse." Thankfully, at that moment, out rushes a team of ER staff, the driver, and a gurney. I quickly book it inside and upstairs to my preceptor. She got a kick out of my story. Definitely one of my first nurse, "I need an adult here," adult moment. That's she said, "Nah, I'm not the nurse for this."
Sometimes the first thought that like runs through your mind is like, "Oh wait, yes, I can do this." Like you forget for a second. Oh, I know what to do.
Nah, as a new grad, that would be horrifying. You're on orientation.
Yeah.
You feel like you should know, but you don't know. So you're like, "Let me go get you somebody."
Yeah.
Who does know for sure? Nah, that was funny.
While in nursing school, my roommate and really good friend sheepishly walks into my room with a look on her face that meant she needed something, but was too embarrassed to ask. I asked her what was up, and she goes, "So I know this is weird, but you're kind of a nurse, so I figured you'd be the best one of my friends to ask. But lately, my butthole feels really raw, and like it's tearing slash peeling, and it hurts to go to the bathroom or shower with soap. Do you think you could take a look at it?" We both laugh, and then I ask her seriously if she wanted me to look, and she goes, "Yes." So she drops her pants and spread her cheeks, and I look. Turns out it was just a little irritated from underwear or wiping too hard. We're still really good friends and both still laugh about it till now. Have y'all looked at anyone's buttholes in a non-sexual way?
No, but I would. That's a good friend. That's a really good friend. I think I would do it, but I hope I don't have to.
Well, I haven't seen any assholes, but you know, like a lot of my frat brothers and shit, like are all the way like across the country. I have gotten like pictures. "Hey, bro, do you think this is her?"
Oh, no.
I've gotten shit like that. I've never known. Nobody's ever come up to me, you know what I'm saying? Asshole in hand. Like, look at this.
What if they're insisting?
I mean, if they're insisting, no, I mean, look, I got you. I'll look.
I'll look.
A mental picture.
Sure. I'll take a look and I'll tell you exactly what I think. but no, luckily, nobody's come to me, you know what I'm saying, with asshole. Right there, but I have gotten some pretty nasty pictures, and people call me. I don't know about y'all, but it's like in my family, we don't have a lot of healthcare professionals at all. Yeah, I think I am the only healthcare professional in my family, and everybody is convinced I'm a doctor, so they always call me and ask me shit. Like, always call me and ask me for medical advice and all of this stuff. So.
Yeah, most nurses aren't squeamish about that stuff. So I think most people would be like, "All right, let me see."
Yeah, hey, Tony, we talked to the lawyer. You have to give a disclaimer when you give advice because you can be legally responsible for what you tell them.
Okay, so you do have to give a disclaimer.
Yeah.
Like, so be like, "I might be wrong, but..."
But you should see a doctor.
Yeah, speak to a doctor, but this is what I recommend.
Yeah, this is what I think, but this is not official medical advice. Yeah.
Got you. No, that's cool.
Just an FYI.
I only tell people, go see a doctor. Or you get an x-ray. A lot of them like, "Is my ankle broken?" And I'm like, if it looks fine, you need an x-ray. I don't know. I can't tell you that. I don't have x-ray vision.
So, next story. I was driving home from work, and I'm at a stoplight in the middle lane. At the time, I worked in a department where I wore surgical scrubs and changed it to normal clothing before going home. I had a window down and I heard screaming. I saw two teenage girls across the road, one on the sidewalk seizing and the other one screaming for help. Cars were driving past them, no one even slowing down. I flipped a probably illegal U-turn from the middle lane and went to help. I got out and pulled the seizing girl to the grass and put her on her side, did my best to keep her airway clear without suction available. Her mouth was foaming. And handed the screaming girl my cell phone, told her if she wanted to help her friend, she needed to stop yelling, breathe, and call 911 and put it on speaker. By this time, people finally started pulling over and asked if I needed help. EMS showed up, parents were called, and wanted her to be brought to the hospital. People pulled over and asked how I knew what to do and how I stayed so calm. I didn't even tell them I worked in healthcare. I'm worried about strangers knowing I have an RN license. I told them I was there to help and that was all that mattered at the time. Maybe they'll remember next time they think about driving past someone in obvious distress. But it wasn't the people who drove by, though. I mean, these are people who stopped.
You gave a little jab at them at the end.
A little saucy, yeah. Good.
It's a good thing she was there. Next story. All right. I live in Daytona Beach, and for a couple of years, they were doing this music festival called Country 500. So my best friend and I, who's a nurse as well, were obviously drunk at the concert and had to use the restroom. So we had to go to the forever dreaded porta potty section. Well, my friend opens the door and legit finds a huge dead guy. That is not where I want to die. A country festival and a porta potty. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Those vagals, man. Vagling down. I come running over with an off-duty paramedic and we pull him out and start compressions. He ended up getting a heart rhythm back, but died at the local hospital we work at that she's the ED manager at. He had puke all down him. We suspected he vagled himself. My friend and I looked at each other and automatically beelined it to the bar for a double of Tito's and soda. It was definitely a concert to remember.
I don't know. I mean, you know how you walk out of a code or some shit and then go right back to like your break.
Yeah, you just go back to real life.
Eating shit, you know what I'm saying? But if I'm at a concert and I see some shit like that, I'm leaving the concert.
Even if it was some festival you paid whatever for?
This is a fucking country concert. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
I would not be there in the first place. I knew I shouldn't have come to this country.
Came to this country ass town.
To die in a porta potty.
Yeah, that's not the way to go. It's just the shock of opening a bathroom to go pee.
Yeah, how do you react?
Yeah. What if you really have to pee, too?
That's crazy. You die in a porta potty and get peed on. That's fucking
If I have to pee bad, I feel like my compressions aren't going to be
that's good. Would you pee yourself to try to save someone? I don't know.
No. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Brandon, did we get that?
Or might accidentally pee while doing great compressions.
There we go. Nice double back. All right, next story. So about 2 months ago, I was 38 and a half weeks pregnant. So I had to go to an OB appointment. And I had just dropped off my 2.5-year-old son at his babysitter's so I could go in peace to my appointment. On our way home, I saw a guy in a truck on the side of the road, all of a sudden get out of the truck and just collapse on the side of the road. I quickly whipped my car around to try to help him, while in my head thinking, oh shit, I hope I don't have to do chest compressions because my water might break. Luckily, at the same time, an off-duty police officer saw him and pulled around. He sternal rubbed the guy's chest and he came to, but was very disoriented. We called 911 and spoke to the man while we waited. Keep in mind, I live in a very rural area, and people are very hesitant to go to the hospital. The guy was insisting he was not going to the hospital to get checked out, even though he passed out on the side of the road, and argued that he was going to get back in his truck and drive home since he only lived 2 miles away, and we were on a back country road. This realization that someone like this could be on the road with me and my son, an unborn daughter, made me snap and yell at this guy. I told him I'd be damned if I let him leave the scene and pass out again behind the wheel and kill someone like me and my family. I think I shocked the guy and the police officer as I am a 5'2" small pregnant person telling two grown-ass men what to do. Let's just say the ER nurse came out of me. He agreed to wait for the ambulance, and once they arrived and was pulling away, I was relieved to see him get into the ambulance. I don't know what happened with him, whether it was a vagal episode or something more serious. I'm happy to report that my daughter came a week later and is now 5 weeks old. It's crazy that the guy was trying to leave. Like, I'd be like, what do you mean?
I wonder what the police officer was thinking. Like, bro, you can't do that shit.
Yeah.
One thing that it made me think about when she was talking about how she works in like a rural area. Like, imagine being like an ICU nurse or like an ED, well, like her, like an ED nurse. in like your hometown or like a very rural town, or like a town of like 200 people.
Yeah.
So everything that happens to everybody there, you know about it.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I'm sure nurses in small towns like that really do know what's going on with everyone. They have all the tea.
They know it all.
Yeah. All right. Next story. Girlfriend and I were in Chattanooga for the weekend and out looking for a place to sit and drink. We came across an Irish pub, and right as we went up to open the door, a worker busts out and says, "Unless you're a medical personnel, you can't come in." My dumbass replies, "I'm a nurse," without thinking. Dude, dead ass, looks at me in the face and says, "Oh good, there's a dead guy on the floor upstairs. Come on." The guy takes me upstairs, and all I see is a purple and gray guy getting what I assume is supposed to be CPR. The drunk girl doing the compressions is pumping his navel like an old school Nike Air. Whoever wrote this is a comedian.
This is the best story.
I move her out of the way, check for a pulse, and then do two rounds of CPR. Fire department came in and took over. The guy's friend was screaming something about the dead guy eating Ativans all day. At that point, I bolted. That's just a good story.
Awesome story.
Well told, well written. All right, this is actually the last story. My BF, now husband, and I were living in Binghamton, New York, in a really crappy part of town. During our shift, someone had lit his apartment on fire by putting out a cigarette in his flower box. We were later cleaning out what was left of his apartment when someone driving by literally crashed into my car. I went over to chew him out, and he was unconscious, gasping for air. Overdose. My boyfriend dragged him out of the car, and by that point he was not breathing at all. Luckily, like a good nurse, he has one of those CPR masks in his glove compartments at all times, so we started rescue breathing while waiting for EMS. The guy made it, and luckily the car and the apartment were all covered under insurance. I have a hell of a pic from that day, and it pops up in my time hop every year.
That's crazy. I definitely thought she was going to say, like a good nurse, he had Narcan in his glove compartment.
I thought it was going to be Narcan, too.
So I pulled it out and hit him with it. Woke that ass up.
That's a rough day, though.
Yeah.
Like, imagine coming home to your apartment being burnt down, and then your car gets... and the guy who hits your car is like... passed out, and then you have to save the person.
Your crib and your car is gone. Like, you were just shooting on the roof.
I wish I could see that time hop pic. All right, guys, that is this week's episode. Thanks again for joining us, Layla.
Bye, thanks. Nice meeting you guys. Hello.
Tony, always a pleasure.
Always, man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, man. No, thank you for coming on. I know this, I mean, we just took up literally your whole day, so...
But if you guys want to follow me, I am at Groovy Tone with two E's. And yeah, that's it.
All right, man. Thanks again.
Bye, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Adios. Thank y'all. Good night.
Hey, guys, it's Emily. I just wanted to say happy Nurses Week. Thank you all for submitting your stories. We really couldn't do it without you.
Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to keep an eye on the website. It should be updated any day now. And then also the Instagram account will be posting all sorts of perks on there for Nurses Week.
And as always, if you'd like to support the podcast, the best way to do that at this time is to purchase some of the new merch that we have on nursespeak.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Love you.